This morning I'll be reading from John chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. John 15, 13 and 14. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for these opportunities we have to worship God in spirit and in truth, certainly to assemble with one another. We're thankful for the scripture reading by Brother Tim, the song reading by Jacob, and we're certainly thankful for that prayer from Brother Harvey. Certainly thankful for all of those things. If you're visiting with us today, we are very glad that you've come our way. We are so thankful that you're here, and certainly we want you to know here at Sandyville Church of Christ, we really strive to follow the Bible and the words of God. We seek to worship God the way that God has asked to be worshipped. We certainly try to do everything we do, we try to align it with the Bible. If we speak, we should speak as the Bible speaks, and if we're silent, we should be silent where the Bible's silent. I certainly think that falls under 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. We want to follow the Bible, and certainly that's what we're striving to do. We're certainly glad that you're with us, and we pray that if you have any questions, you'll certainly reach out, and we're just so glad that you're here. You know, friends are so important, and with Friends and Family Day, I thought that we would consider being a friend, not only to Jesus, but being a friend like Jesus. What would that look like? You know, our friends have such an impact on our lives. Certainly the Bible encourages us in that way. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, it says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. We've got to be careful with those people that we surround ourselves by. We certainly want to be a positive impact on those that are around us. But our friends are important. And the people that we have close in our lives are so important as we live this life. You know, I've heard it said that you're a combination of the five people you spend the most time around. You know, I found that to be true. As my kids are growing up, it's amazing to me the mannerisms they're picking up. They pick up the mannerisms of Sarah, they pick up the mannerisms of myself, but also the mannerisms of those individuals that are close to us, those people that are around us. It's amazing what our kids pick up. It's amazing what influence we can have on others. Certainly we want to have a positive impact on others. You know, when I think about friends, I do think about Jesus. And when it comes to Jesus, I really and desperately want to be a friend of Jesus. And you know what? The Bible tells us how we can be a friend of Jesus. And I want to think about that for a few moments before we think about how can I be a friend like Jesus. Maybe we need to think about how can I just be a friend of Jesus. You know what? Our Bible reading came from John chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. And Jesus says there, he says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. I want to be a friend of Jesus. And although there are many people in the world that will give lip service to being a friend of Jesus, Jesus says right there what it means to be a friend of Jesus. You're my friend if you do what I have commanded you. You know, a lot of people will phrase it in a different way. They say, well, maybe I'm not a friend of Jesus, but I have a relationship with Jesus. I think the Bible has that covered as well. You know, people say, I have a relationship with Jesus. You want to say that you have a relationship with Jesus? You want to say you know Jesus? 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. You want to know if you know Jesus? 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4. By this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, but does not keep the commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I think Jesus makes it very clear and lays it out in John chapter 15, but also lays it out in 1 John, is if we want to be a friend of Jesus, we're going to have to do what he said. I want to be a friend of Jesus. I want to be a friend of Jesus. I want to walk hand in hand with the Lord. I want to follow in his steps. And God tells us if we want to do that, we need to do what he said. And you know what? I think we find that in the relationships in our own lives. Is that our friends, although we might have disagreements from time to time, but we like our friends to do what we say. Or if they don't do what we say, they might say, well, I'm not going to do this because I think this might hurt you, or I might think that this is not the best idea. But typically, our friends will kind of do what we ask. And that's what Jesus says. Jesus says, you want to be a friend of man, do what I ask. Do what I've commanded. Do what I've laid for. And you think about that, I think that is a basic point, a basic principle. If we want to be a friend of Jesus, if we want to be a friend to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we're going to need to do what he says. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the things that I say? I want to be a friend of Jesus. And when I read the Bible and I study the Bible, I see this idea that says, I'm going to be a friend of Jesus. I need to get close to God's Word and I need to do those things which he says. And I think something special happens when we do that. When we say, I want to be a friend of Jesus, we start doing what Jesus asked us to do, and what happens is we become more Christ-like. So by being a friend of Jesus, we actually become a friend like Jesus, which is what I'd like to spend the rest of our time on. I want to be a friend of Jesus, and if I get closer and closer to Jesus, I'm actually going to become a friend like Jesus. I'm going to conduct myself the way that Jesus conducted himself in relationships. Conduct myself in the way that Jesus handled individuals in his life. With grace, love, forgiveness, service, speaking the truth, encouraging those that were around them. Certainly there are so many aspects that we can take from Jesus and say, I want to be a friend of Jesus, but understand if we want to be a friend of Jesus, as we get closer to Jesus, we will become a friend like Jesus to the world. How close are you to Jesus? Is he in your top five? You are probably a combination of the five people you spend the most time around. I hope that one of those individuals is Jesus. You know, some individuals in the first century, they made some comments about the people that were close to Jesus. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. If you say that you're going to be a friend of Jesus, you're going to do what he says, and that is going to transform your life, and you're going to become a friend like Jesus. What are some things that Jesus did on this plane of life that we can model, that we can follow, so we can be not only close to Jesus as a friend by doing what he says, but actually becoming a friend like Jesus? You know, we need more people like Jesus in this world. And although we cannot focus on all the attributes of Jesus this morning, we do want to focus on just a few. You know how few people probably open up their Bibles? Many times I fear that we are the only Bible that many people will read. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When we become Christians, when we say we're going to be a friend of Jesus, we're going to follow his commands, we're going to do what God says, it's like we die and Jesus is living in us and we are trying to be as Christ-like as we can in every situation. Sometimes I think we're the only Christ that that the world sees, and we have to be mindful of that because we are imperfect and we make mistakes. But one of the things that I think made Jesus a good friend that I think has been lost in our society and our culture is, number one, Jesus would speak the truth. A good friend will speak the truth. You know, I think of my spouse, Sarah. I'm not saying that Sarah's not encouraging, but one of the things that I am most thankful for is that my wife will always tell me the truth. Now, sometimes that truth is hard to hear. But my wife, she will tell me the truth. And sometimes it takes someone very close to you that can almost say the truth to you sometimes, because the truth can sometimes hurt. But when I look at Jesus, and I look at his life and the way that he conducted himself, Jesus was a friend that would tell the truth. And I would say that many times, I think our society tries to erase this about Jesus. I really believe that if Jesus was here, that many people would reject Jesus. They would say that he is extreme, that he is saying too much. Jesus don't say that. Jesus don't say that. Jesus don't do that. You know what Jesus is doing? He's speaking the truth. And if we are going to be friends, we have to speak the truth. Now, the Bible gives instructions for this. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, speak the truth in love. But I think our society, what they have done, is they have totally corrupted our communications with one another, and it's almost like if you tell someone something that offends them or hurts them, then you don't love them. I want to look at some situations that Jesus fell into. Situations that I think our culture would have said, Jesus, be quiet, don't say anything. Jesus, don't say that. Jesus, take a step back. But I can tell you that Jesus pushed through with telling people the truth. You know why? Because he loved them. He loved them. In fact, if you lose one of those components, you know that you have failed as a Christian. Speaking the truth in love. I think we can't really love someone if we won't tell them the truth. You know what? If you speak the truth in an attacking way where we don't have any love, that's a problem too. So let's look at Jesus and a couple situations that Jesus finds himself in. I can tell you that Jesus, as a friend, was in the truth business. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, it says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus was in the truth business. In John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus was in the truth business. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yes, Jesus was in the truth business. Jesus was in the truth business. Good friends will speak the truth. And the truth is hard. We can see that the truth is God's Word, and we understand that the Bible describes God's Word as a sword in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, and that sword can cut. Let's look at a couple situations of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, I think our society would tell Jesus to be quiet. But I think we have to understand what Jesus was trying to do. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, Jesus says this. He says, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, you draw near to me with your mouth and honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. In vain do you worship me, teaching his doctrine, the commandments of men. Jesus is calling out the religious leaders of his day. He's saying that they're hypocrites or pretenders. A hypocrite is really this idea of a pretender. It comes from the Greek word referring to an actor or a pretender. So he says, you're pretenders. You're speaking good things, but you're not doing good things. You're actually doing what men are telling you to do, but you're not doing what I'm telling you to do. Now, I think a lot of people in our world would try to shut Jesus down right here and say, Jesus, what are you doing? Why are you telling these people that their worship is flawed? That's what he's telling them. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, he's telling them that their worship is messed up. Now, is Jesus telling them this because he hates these individuals? Is Jesus telling them this because he doesn't like these individuals? Or is it that Jesus loves these individuals enough to tell them the truth? You are not worshiping me correctly. Do you have any doubt that Jesus loved these individuals? I think in our society there's many people that would run to Jesus and say, Jesus, what are you doing? You're going to offend these individuals. Jesus loved them enough to tell them the truth. And sometimes it will put a Christian in a hard situation. I understand that. But if we look at Jesus' life, Jesus was the perfect teacher. He was the perfect preacher. And yet people rejected him. Good friends speak the truth. There are some times my wife has told me some things and they hurt me a little bit. There are some times where brothers and sisters in Christ have come to me privately and said some things that hurt me in the moment, but you know what? They are what I needed to hear to improve. Some of the best growth I've had as a Christian came from brothers and sisters in Christ having hard conversations that the world says should not happen. Good friends speak the truth. We speak the truth to our kids, don't we? If our kid is going towards that stove that's hot, the loving thing is to tell them if they touch it, they're going to get burned. Now, sometimes my son, in particular, he'll look at me and he'll almost get irritated when I tell him, no, don't do that. But I'm telling him, no, don't do that because I love him. But every once in a while, I'll get a look from my son, and he'll be like, why are you telling me no? Don't aim that bow and arrow at your sister. You know, he's got this little toy bow and arrow. He loves to shoot that thing. But he can't aim that at his sister. go out in the yard and shoot it towards the trees, you know. We love people. We tell them the truth. And I know that that is very difficult and hard, but Jesus gets himself into some situations. In John chapter 6, he says some things that are pretty hard on the people. In John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68, it's interesting how the people respond to what Jesus said. It said, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus turned to the disciples and said, do you also want to go away? And Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In John chapter 6, you can read what Jesus said there, but many of the individuals, they weren't having it. It says they walked away. They didn't want to have anything to do with what Jesus had just said. It said they walked away and walked with him no more. And Jesus turns those people close to him and says, hey, are you also going to walk away? Peter says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, when we start looking at Jesus, it's amazing to me how many people will take Jesus, they'll focus on certain aspects of Jesus, and then they'll try to erase others. Jesus did confront false teachers. And he didn't do it because he didn't like those individuals. He did it because he loved those individuals. Jesus, when he's teaching these things, he's teaching the truth, and some of these individuals walk away. I'm sure that Jesus was not necessarily happy with that situation, but that's what happened. You know, people walked away from Jesus. Jesus had hard conversations about the truth because they needed to be had out of love. And we need to be friends like that. In John chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, we have this woman that has been caught in adultery. And I think we see many qualities of Jesus. We see forgiveness. We see grace. But many times, people will not conclude the story. You know what Jesus says to that woman that's caught in adultery? In John chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, I think we see God's grace and his forgiveness in a lot of aspects of Jesus here. But sometimes I think we just miss some aspects because I think sometimes people are intentionally trying to miss them. But it says, Jesus stood by and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Now, I think there's a lot of people in our society that would tell Jesus not to have that conversation. Jesus, why are you telling this person to not do stuff anymore? And you're like, well, it's adultery. People shouldn't be cheating. Well, you know what? When it comes to anything that the Bible tells us to do, or things that the Bible tells us not to do, I think that we can definitely be individuals that say, you know what? As good, concerned, loving friends, you should not be involved in that. You know, you really shouldn't be involved in that. And if you think that Jesus was the only individual that did this, I would suggest that we need to read our New Testament again and again and again, because what we will see is that everyone that was following Jesus was taking on the same trait of Jesus, that they were willing to tell the truth. I think about John the Baptist. Didn't John the Baptist get himself into some trouble because he told somebody, it is not lawful for you to have her? And you know what they did to him? They took off his head. The followers of Jesus will tell the truth. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it'll put us in some hard situations, but that is the loving thing to do. And I pray, as brothers and sisters in Christ, when people come to us, and they're coming to us and they are concerned, and they're coming to us because they love us, and they're coming to us because they want what's best for us, that we will listen to them. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 9, it says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Proverbs here gives this idea of this idea that perfume and oil, those are pleasant things. And you know something else is pleasant? When a friend comes to you, and they're concerned, and they love you, and they're trying to tell you something that's going to help. When I look at Jesus, there's certainly many qualities we can pull away from Jesus that makes him a good friend. Certainly his forgiveness and his grace and many of these qualities. But one of the things that I think many times we miss is that Jesus is willing to speak the truth. And I think as good friends, we must be willing to speak the truth. And I understand that there is timing when it comes to this, and love is needed, and there's a season for everything. But you know what I fear, brothers and sisters in Christ, is I fear that sometimes these conversations never happen. I'm not saying there's not a season. I'm not saying there's not a time. But you know what I fear is that sometimes maybe these conversations never happen. Conversations that need to happen, but they never do. Paul was willing to have these conversations with brothers and sisters in Christ. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul's not talking about the world right there. He's talking to the church. He says, church, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Do you have any doubt that Paul loved his brethren? Now, I think when I read the letters of the Apostle Paul, you can't quite read the tone, but I've got a feeling whenever I read the letters, I feel a little fire behind the Apostle Paul. But just because he was fiery did not mean that he did not care. I think he loved the church. He loved Christians. He loved the world. And he was willing to sacrifice some things of the world because he knew that the truth was so important. Speak the truth in love. If we lose either of those, we're in trouble. And I think Jesus was perfect, and we can see that Jesus, even in his perfection, we can see sometimes what happens when the truth gets out there. Number one, if we're going to be a friend like Jesus, we must speak the truth. And whenever the truth is gone, our world is lost. Number two is when I look at Jesus, Jesus was a great encourager. And I think that might be overlooked sometimes when we think of Jesus, but Jesus was an encourager. Jesus would say many things to his disciples and his followers that would encourage them to press on. Do you encourage people with your lips? You know, our tongue is so powerful, it can tear down or it can build up, and we have to decide how we're going to use it. I think we should use our tongue to speak the truth, but you know, once you get done speaking the truth, make sure that almost all your other words are encouraging, trying to uplift and build individuals up as best we can. Speak the truth, yes, but Jesus was an encourager. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, it says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Do you speak encouraging words to your spouse? Do you speak encouraging words to the church? Do you speak encouraging words to your co-workers? They're like a honeycomb. Probably some of the times in your life where you felt satisfied, content, and joyous, many times probably came right on the tail end of someone saying something nice or encouraging to you. Jesus was an encourager. Now, what's interesting about Jesus' life, Jesus did not have a lot of time on this earth. And over the course of time, I think the disciples and the apostles, they started to pick up that Jesus was going to be leaving them. And on many occasions, when the disciples and the apostles picked up on Jesus leaving them, Jesus almost always would sneak in some type of encouragement. One of those occasions, in John chapter 14, I believe they started to pick up this idea that Jesus was not going to be with them forever, and that Jesus might be gone very soon. You know what Jesus said in John 14, verses 1 through 3? He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can you imagine hearing those words from our Lord? Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus is encouraging them and building them up. And many times we see this with Jesus, is Jesus was at work trying to encourage those that were around him to live the Christian life, to follow him, and to follow him throughout his life. In John chapter 16, verses 32 and 33, it says this. It says, indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus tried to encourage once again. Jesus says, I'm going to leave, and actually you guys are going to run away from me, basically. I'm going to be all alone, but I'm not really alone because God's with me. But he says, I want you to have peace, and I want you to understand that I have overcome the world. I'm not saying that you're not going to have hard days. He says, I know you're going to have tribulation, but God, Jesus, is trying to encourage them. I think it's a great commission in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, says Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Oh, Jesus was an encourager. Jesus, I think, could pick up when there was individuals that were disheartened. Individuals, when they were maybe thinking about walking away, and Jesus would encourage them and try to uplift them. And Jesus did not say it was going to be an easy road, but Jesus was encouraging. Do you try to encourage individuals that are around you? Now, certainly we can encourage with our words, but also we can encourage with our actions. And I think many times actions are underestimated. I think our examples are seen and they're heard far louder than many times our words could ever be. Our example is many times far louder than our words could ever be. What do you stand for? What do you believe in? And you know what? You don't have to say it. We can see it in your actions. You know, you can encourage people with your actions. I think that was the idea that was trying to get across in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. What's the idea there? We can encourage each other by fellowshipping, by assembling with the saints. We can encourage one another. In fact, when you think about the assembly of the saints there, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it starts out, it says, let us consider one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We can encourage each other with words. We can encourage each other with actions. And when it comes to the family of God, when it comes to the church, I think many of us, we don't have to look around too far till we realize some of us, our family is here. Our family is right here. And I want to encourage my family. I want to build them up. And certainly, I think that was a trait of Jesus. He could see discouragement, and Jesus would try to pick up, and he would try to encourage. Number one, Jesus would speak the truth. Number two, Jesus would also encourage. Number three, we can't miss this one, is Jesus would serve. In Mark chapter 10, and verse 45, it says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And when you think about Jesus being a friend, you can't go too far throughout the New Testament without seeing Jesus' great service. And perhaps one of these moments that just kind of encapsulate Jesus' service is in John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, you remember that Jesus is coming very close to his crucifixion. He's coming very close to his death. And in John chapter 13, he takes some time, and what does he do? He washes their feet. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was interested in service. In fact, that was his whole life, really, when you think about it. He came to give his life a ransom for many. You did not come to be served, but to serve. And we, trying to be friends of Jesus by following his command, we're going to become more like Jesus. And you know what we're going to do? Is we are going to become better servants of our fellow man. We're going to become better servants of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to become better servants of the world because we're going to take on the mindset of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but the interests of others. Jesus was in the business of the truth. Jesus was in the business of encouraging. Jesus was in the business of service. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. There's a couple of paths there. Visit orphans and widows, and then also keep oneself unspotted from the world. That is instructions to Christians. You want to serve? Make some visits. You want to serve? Try to encourage. You want to serve? Find some things that need to be done at the congregation and go to work on those things. But God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Certainly the greatest act of service there is. I want to be a friend of Jesus, And I cannot be a friend of Jesus if I don't do the things that he says. If I do the things that he says, I'm going to become a friend like Jesus. And some of the things we see in Jesus' life, if Jesus would tell people the truth, Jesus would also encourage. And Jesus would also, as we see here, Jesus would serve. The question is do we do those things? And if we are going to highlight one of those this week to work on, which one would it be for you? Do you struggle with telling people the truth? Do you struggle with encouraging individuals? Do you struggle with serving individuals that are around you? Which one do you struggle with the most? We can all be better. We can all be more Christ-like. But I want to be a friend of Jesus. I want to do what Jesus says. When it comes to becoming a New Testament Christian, we see the Gospels, and we transition in the book of Acts. Jesus died. He's been buried. He is rose from the dead. He has told them to go to Jerusalem so that they can preach remission of sins. And we see those individuals on that day hear the word, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And those individuals were added to the church. They were baptized for the remission of sins. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. Perhaps you have questions. We'd love to help you in any way we can. If your subject is invitation answered, please come as we stand and as we sing.